Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yeah, Monday. What's up? Welcome in a Victory Monday on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We will take you up to 6:30, 4.5 hours to discuss a big old juicy fat Commanders home win as they blow out the Raiders by 17 at Northwest Stadium. Jay Gruden is on the show at 5. We will have some special guests who helped contribute to the win, we believe, along the way as well today. On Grant and Danny, 2 home games, 2 wins in Landover by 15 and 17, sandwiching the debacle in Green Bay. But it is a 2-1 record.
Yep.
The Commanders are pretty much right where they should be through 3 weeks. They are dealing with a bunch of injuries, Danny, but they are persevering despite those injuries.
They are indeed. Sometimes it's got to be a Jeremy McNichols play. Sometimes it's got to be a Chris Moore third down conversion. That's football, dude. That's the life in this league. Everything you wrote down on paper of we're going to have this, we're going to have that, we're going to have this, we're going to have that. The league scoffs at that. They tear that paper up. The next man has to be able to step in and do something with your stars, with your leaders, with your guys that are that you're going to count on down in and down out. But listen, you've played 2 bad teams, and you've done what you're supposed to do to both of them. That's a good sign, honestly, at this stage, with everything that's going on.
Yeah, and both of those teams, while we can say that they're bad, they're a combined 1-5 on the season. So, sure, they're bad. Before they played the Giants, everyone was telling us how good the Giants were going to be and how surprising they might be in the NFC. And they've been in every single one of their games, by the way. They went to overtime last week. They gave the Chiefs all they could handle till the fourth quarter last night. They're not terrible. This is not the Titans or some team that's going to pick first or second in the draft. They're competitive. The Raiders, similarly, beat the Patriots in week one and looked okay doing it. They played a primetime game a week ago and in a cross-country travel short week looked terrible. No doubt, but I think that's probably more like a 7-8 win team than a 4-5 win team. But they've got some major flaws, and Washington exposed them. Their offensive line is not good. Their tackles are not good. And defensively, as we talked about all day in our preview on Friday, they give up a lot of opportunities in the passing game. They had actually been exceptional against the run. That was the strength of this defense and maybe the strength of this team to this point in the season. And you wouldn't have known it watching the game yesterday, because they got gashed by the Commanders for 201 net rushing yards. Marcus Mariota ran for 40. You mentioned the 60-yard touchdown by McNichols where he was almost tackled 3 or 4 times. He went for 78 yards. Chris Rodriguez goes from inactive to the first guy on the field to get all the carries for their first 2 drives, including a 5-play touchdown drive to open the game where all they did was run. He has 39 yards. Kroski Merritt had a touchdown and 26 yards. And then Deebo Samuel got 3 carries for 18 yards. So they ran for over 200 as a team, just shoved the ball down the Raiders' gullet yesterday. And I thought the plan from Cliff Kingsbury was incredible. You don't have John Bates as your top blocking tight end. Ben Sinnott did some really good things. Colson Yankoff helped them. But they basically said, Trent Scott, we're going heavy. We're going extra tackle. We're going heavy personnel. And they presented some problems by doing that. We saw a gadget play early in the game on a direct snap to Debo with Zach Ertz next to him in Wildcat. We saw a read option go for 23 yards. Now, Mariota fumbled, his only mistake of the day. He was splendid. But Kliff was in his bag early on as a run designer, and I thought it opened everything up. The perfectly timed shot to McLaurin in the second half, based on all the stuff that they had shown and run in the running game in the first half, leads to the 56-yard catch that should have been a 57-yard touchdown.
Thought it was a touchdown, yeah. Same thing later in the game when the whole world thought they were running and Luke McCaffrey's just jogging free and clear for a touchdown. The timing of it. I mean, play calling is as much a science as it is as an art form.
Yeah.
And that was art yesterday, I felt like, where everything is related to something. It's setting you up. It's challenging every blade of grass, making sure you got to cover and be accountable. You know, Debo Samuel early, and by the way, tone of the game gets started. He damn near takes it to the house on a kickoff. It's something that scares the hell out of me. I don't know that I'd have the huevos to put him back there every time, but you see why they do. That's an offensive play as far as there is concerned, and that sets up their opening touchdown drive. What a difference he made early on. Just getting him the football, even if he only had like a handful of touches in the game, but it felt like more because his presence, you could see the Raiders are going, okay, where's number one? We've got to make sure he's accounted for as he's going in motion. There's a fake to him in the backfield, or there's a couple that do go to him, and they have to swarm. He demands accountability, and you could see the impact.
Basically put on ice for the whole fourth quarter, too.
Yeah.
So the reason it felt like he was more involved than he was is because for three quarters, he actually was. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the first half of the game, their offense went through him. He had a bad drop. In fact, all three of Mariota's incompletions in the first half, he was so damn accurate and pinpoint with his control and command. Between the numbers, the middle of the field in this offense shined in this game from a throwing standpoint because Mariota was just on it, man. The three incompletions in the first half, a drop by Debo.
I mean, right in the chest, should have been picked off.
That should have been a first down. A drop by Jalen Lane on a throw into the end zone. Now, it wasn't an easy play. He's got a defender right there. It's a back shoulder ball, but it hits him. He should catch it. And then a throwaway that he basically spikes at the feet of Zach Ertz when he's about to get sacked. He didn't have one actual throw to a receiver that was not completely accurate and exactly where he wanted it to be in the first half of the game. And then he only had three incompletions the rest of the way. So it was 15 of 21 with what turned out to be four drops because Terry dropped a pass.
McLaurin had one now.
He should have caught. So it would have been 19 of 21 passing for around 250 yards and two touchdowns in terms of like the ball out of Mariota's hand and what should have happened. And on top of that, the 23-yard read option looked like he was at Oregon. The 40 rushing yards on six carries. He was incredible again. This is now three times that this guy has played under Kliff in this offense. Last year, when he comes in after a drive against Carolina and he hangs 40 on the Panthers, then week 18, game 17 against the Cowboys, where at halftime, worst offensive performance over a half.
Yeah.
All last season, Jaden gets sat, not because of how they're playing, but because they're getting ready for the playoffs and they need their MVP at quarterback to be ready for the postseason. And Mariota comes in and lights it up, 15 of 18 down the stretch, runs all over the place. They come back to beat the Cowboys, and then this game yesterday. It's why I wasn't doing the hysteria thing all last week that everybody wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Now, if you tell me that Jaden Daniels is going to miss 6 to 8 games, now your season is derailed. You know, now that's a big problem because over many weeks, the flaws get exposed or what have you. But for a game here, two games there, couple games, Marcus Mariota is very, very capable in a quarterback-friendly offense. When you're a dual threat, Kingsbury does not get enough credit for what happens around these parts. He had a hell of a successful season last year. Could have been a head coach if he wanted to this offseason. He basically said, I'm good thanks to the New Orleans Saints who wanted him. He'll get a job this offseason, but this should be the tape he sends out there.
Agreed.
But this was a Mona Lisa for him. And with Mariota and no Bates and no Noah Brown, they didn't miss Jaden Daniels in this game. Over the course of a season, would they? Obviously. You know, you go from maybe 11 wins to 7 or 8 wins or whatever. But yesterday, there was not a single second at any point where you missed Jaden Daniels. That's how good Marcus Mariota was.
Agreed. And the scheme and design of it, I think, is to your point. If you have this skill set, even if it's not all the faders turned up to maximum, like Jaden Daniels can do with some of the downfield stuff, you do enough of these. All right, you covered this, so I reach around and punch you that way. You covered this, so now I uppercut here. It's the constant probing and bothering of the defense where they have to account every single, you know, for every single option. It's all short. It's all quick. It's all, you know, it's that Zach Ertz 7-yard catch. Oh, that's annoying. It's this run off of this different look. It's this keeper. You have to respect every fake because the quarterback might keep it, or this guy, you know, coming across the formation might keep it. it's a pain in the butt to play against him, and you get tired of it, so everybody starts creeping up. That's when the shot happens. That's when the Terry McLaurin happens. And it's not as if Mariota's dropping dimes like Peyton Manning in his prime or some splendid world-class passer, but when someone's wide open with 7, 8, 9, 10 yards of separation, he'll make that throw. That's just fine. To McCaffrey, to McLaurin, that's not what they majored in. They majored in everything else, and they were able to take a couple of those easy shots just because the Raiders got so sick of having to cover their gut for all those punches that they constantly were throwing at them. Stayed ahead of the sticks for the most part, even with some of the penalties. That was an in-control, our offense and our guys are better than your guys. Just give it time.
So if you go back to the Thursday night game against Green Bay, the first thing that we talked about after that game was how badly they got outcoached and how they weren't prepared and the plan wasn't very good, it didn't seem like. And the Packers' plan was way better. This game was the inverse of that. This was the antithesis. They dominated the Raiders from a coaching standpoint. All apologies and respect to Pete Carroll and company. I mean, Kingsbury took Patrick Graham's lunch. And on the other side of the ball, Chip Kelly got worked by Joe Witt. They just had a better plan. Now, I'm going to give the Raiders an out because you had 5 days to prepare, basically. You played on Monday night and then flew across America, whereas the Commanders didn't play since Thursday. So you should have a better plan. You should outcoach them. You should be more rested, more prepared. And all of those things were true. There's no doubt about that. But the Packers had a bunch of extra days. They were playing the Cleveland Browns, who played last weekend. They lost that football game. They took them lightly, probably. But you don't just get to roll the football out and do it, is my point.
Yeah.
And so you give credit to the coaching staff, to Dan Quinn, who took the big bump on the sideline, did his press conference with the dried blood.
How about that?
The goatee yesterday. But I thought it was a good day for the coaching staff in general. And then you're right. The players just better than the Raiders players. The guys that you worried about really having a chance to take the game over. Max Crosby was mostly not noticed. He did have a sack and 7 tackles, so it was like a fine statistical game.
Yeah, he is incredible, by the way.
He's a great player. Yeah. But you just don't let him beat you, and right. He didn't yesterday. Genty's going to be a star. I really believe that. Like, he's impossible to tackle by yourself in the open space. He's powerful. He's got unbelievable balance. He's just an incredible talent. But the amount of 0-yard and 1-yard runs that he had early in the game, where he was hit at the line of scrimmage or behind it, I think it was probably 7 or 8 times.
Well, I counted it. So 3 yards or less on 12 of his 17 carries. Those 12, so stay with me, of those 12, 9 were for 1, 0, or negative.
So he had 9 runs of 1 yard or less.
Yes.
I mean, that is
more than half of his 18 carries.
That's staggering.
He had 45 carries on 3 burst runs where to get the Raiders.
45 yards.
Yeah, 45 yards. Yeah. What did I say? 45 carries?
Sure.
He had 45 yards on 3 burst runs. And give the Raiders credit for establishing that run. That was really important. I guess Pete Carroll can sleep great. But he had a run of 16, 18, and 11. Other than that, 14 carries for 18 yards.
Yeah.
I will take that every single time, please and thank you. But you're right. You could see it with him. He's the talent's there.
Twofold story here. 2 things are true. Commanders did an amazing job against the run, number one. The Raiders cannot do anything up front.
All true.
Like, their offensive line stinks on ice and to have drafted Genty where they did, which I think ultimately will be a good decision, but to now have him working behind that offensive line is a real tough deal.
Yep.
Because you're getting next to nothing out of him. When he gets a little bit of space, you can see it becomes 18, it becomes 14. Those are the 3 runs you talked about, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the time, he's just getting buried in the backfield. And a 1-yard gain came because he broke a tackle.
Yeah, he made 6 guys miss.
2 guys miss. You know, it's crazy how little room he had. But this was much closer to the other home game than it was the Packers game.
Yeah.
In terms of Javon Kinlaw's import, Deron Payne was very noticeable, the defensive line being really, really good. And you know what's a bad combination is a line that doesn't protect very well and tackles who just don't hold up in pass pro and a quarterback who loves holding the ball. I mean, Geno Smith is a ball holder. Now, to his credit, there were probably 4 or 5 plays where I thought he got sacked. And then he would, like, come out of the pocket.
And he wiggled out of it and completed the ball, yeah.
And that's a Geno thing, but also, like, let's finish. Let's find a way. We're not, you know, high schoolers at our first after prom. Like, let's finish the job here, right? But Bobby Wagner, 2-sack game, could have had a 3rd sack. 11 tackles for him. Dorrance Armstrong had a sack in this game. Von Miller got his first solo sack as a Commander. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, essentially on, like, a hustle play, made a shoelace tackle for a loss of 1 or 2 as Geno was running upfield. But it was 5 sacks, way more pressures than that. Overall, I think if you're a Commanders fan, you've got to be really, really pumped about the plan and the execution from a pass rushing standpoint. One of the things I noticed watching the Raiders leading into the game was how bad they were with their running backs picking up oncoming defenders, like linebackers and stuff. And I had kind of made the comment, Joe Witt's got to find a way to scheme that up. Well, how many times did you see Wagner coming downhill on a delayed blitz or just mugging the A-gap and coming straight ahead and needing to be picked up? And I thought in some ways he kind of took the game over in that capacity.
A couple moments for sure.
He was their best defender by far in this game.
Two tackles for a loss, three quarterback hits to go with the two sacks, kind of to your point. And some of the times I couldn't tell if it was designed delayed blitz or he was reading something going, okay, this running back is not leaving, right? He's not going out for a pass, so maybe that could have been my responsibility. I'll just go knock him into the dirt and on my way to the quarterback. Either way, it was working like gangbusters. I thought Luvu was more active than he's been.
He was definitely better.
You
still
noticed
not
him.
Like last year's Luvu where he made two or three huge impact plays, but it was by far the best, most noticeable game he's had.
Mm-hmm. And I thought Payne was good again as well up front.
So good.
Yeah.
Wasn't perfect defensively. They have a problem with a concept that clearly the Raiders saw on tape against Green Bay and went back to. And it's like that 3-by-1 look where you get someone coming across the field on a crosser or drag, and they're in like man, some kind of a match thing where like their DBs are turning and running with receivers kind of against the grain. And then this like crosser from the one side of the 3-by-1 or sometimes the 3 side, like will come across the formation and linebackers pick them up. In this case, it was Bobby Wagner on Trey Tucker. He cuts it upfield for that wide open touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing the Packers crushed them on. They had another issue with that on that bootleg to start the game on the 45-yarder to Jacoby Myers.
Yep.
They're going to see a lot of that, so you better find a fix, and you better find it pretty quickly because they're getting gashed on that whatever that conceptual look is. The other concern, I guess, defensively would just be the injuries are piling up, man. And this is early in the year, and hopefully they're minor. And I'm sure all these guys are not going to miss the Falcons game. But at one point yesterday in the secondary, you had Antonio Hamilton, who most of us would not recognize if he was sitting in that chair right now, who just got called up from the practice squad, on the field with, like, Tyler Owens, with Jeremy Reeves.
Reeves got a bunch of snaps, yeah.
With Noah Igbinoghene. That was their secondary because Lattimore was on the bike, did not have a concussion, but was being tested for one. Amos left the game. Percy Butler got hurt. Will Harris got hurt. Sounds like his is pretty serious. Rappaport saying he broke a bone in his leg. But, I mean, almost the entire secondary, like, save for a couple of guys, was hurt at one point. People were like, man, the Raiders are really moving the ball. Yeah, no kidding Geno ended up with 290 and three. Like, how many of those were in the fourth quarter against their practice squad? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was part of it. But I know the Falcons were horrendous yesterday. Michael Penix threw two terrible picks. They got shut out by the Panthers. They brought Kirk in the final 2 minutes of the game. But they still have weapons, and I would think a Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Ray McLeod who can route you up, Bijan Robinson as a pass catcher, Kyle Pitts with speed on linebackers. Like, you gotta worry a little bit about all those weapons if they're missing a bunch of guys in the secondary.
Yeah, without question. Even if they were all healthy, I'd worry about that just because they haven't covered great yet.
I would have if I hadn't watched the Falcons play this year, and they're so terrible.
Fair enough.
So against the Washington starting defense, I would say you're going to be okay. But against whatever that was in the fourth quarter yesterday, I think pretty much any team's going to move the ball through the air.
I think that's fair. Yeah, and right now it's not what Washington does well, and there's multiple reasons for it. Injuries, I think, are a huge factor. But again, even if everybody was right, I don't know that that's their strength.
They did sign Darnell Savage today. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that. University of Maryland product, safety, played with the Packers. He's available on September 22nd, which is moderately telling, but if he could give you something, that's a huge bonus. And now we'll wait and see if he does. I mean, there's a chance Preston Smith and Darnell Savage will both be playing for them in a bunch of snaps on the road in Atlanta this weekend.
Yeah, that's certainly, again, as you'd write it up, but this is what happens. I mean, sometimes it's whatever the weak link. I heard Ross Tucker on one of the pregame shows talking about this, where I think he had the Dolphins game, for example, and he's like, the Dolphins were already kind of weak at secondary, so of course that's where all their injuries are. You know, just that's the kind of thing that happens is when it rains, it pours. It's like, okay, what? Remember years ago with, like it was 2012, Hazlitt's going, what's your name over there? Can you slide up 2 feet because you're my safety? Guys are introducing themselves at certain points. You know, he's got guys that you're meeting on Monday, playing on Sunday.
There was a famous moment where he was trying to get Jerome Murphy's, just a random guy that I remember,
right?
But his attention. And he's like, and he couldn't think of his name. He's been there for like 72 hours. And he was number 45. And he just starts yelling, 45, 45. And the guy looks over and he's like telling him what to do. 100%. It's a thing. You know, you're shaking hands while you're out there. One other thing before we get to game balls and gassers. So last year, if you remember, we had Luke McCaffrey on the show a few times, and we told him, because his favorite thing to do for his birthday every year growing up was like chocolate lava cakes from Chili's, which is also my favorite chocolate lava cake in the world.
Okay.
They do a really good job with chocolate lava cakes. They like freeze the hard frozen ball of ice cream, vanilla ice cream a la mode, with the molten chocolate lava cakes that is very warm and the chocolate melts. And as you cut into the very soft, moist lava cake, liquid chocolate, like a volcano, just kind of drips out beautifully, right? I've always said Chili's has as good a chocolate lava cake as you'll find. And then when Luke told us that that was his favorite chocolate lava cake on the show as his cheat meal, we kind of became best friends.
Right.
But if you remember, the point last year early on when we learned this was when he scored his first touchdown, at some point we thought it'd be in week 5 or 7 or 9 or 11 or 13 or at any point.
Any point, yeah.
We would all eat chocolate lava cakes. And he did yesterday. And so I'm just wondering if anybody on the show has a plan to eat any chocolate lava cakes or to go to Chili's or to get together, or should we talk to Luke about maybe meeting him up in Ashburn and getting chocolate lava cakes this week? Does anyone have any interest in a chocolate lava cake Luke McCaffrey touchdown celebration?
So good for you for remembering, because it had been so long ago since we made that agreement.
I mean, it was literally last September when we decided we would do it, and then it became pretty clear that there was no touchdown happening.
Mm-hmm.
But fast forward a year on 9-2-2-2-5, it's time to eat some chocolate lava cake.
You're not going to get me to argue against fellowship eating chocolate lava cakes. Like, you're not going to get me on the opposed side, is my point.
So do we want
to... What's our next step?
Well, I'm going to touch base with Luke to see if he wants to take part in this or not, okay?
He can just send us a video or he can meet us.
Well, if he wants to take part, then we'll come out to him in Loudoun County and we will eat chocolate lava cakes with him this week. If he doesn't want to take part or he's too busy or he's just like, yeah, I really don't want to spend any time with you guys.
Right.
That's fine, too.
Yeah.
He could do that, and he can go eat his own chocolate lava cake, and he can maybe send us a video of him doing that, and then we'll all get together and or have someone bring in chocolate lava cakes. But I think we do need to pay off what is a one-year-in-the-making, long-standing show promise.
Good for you for remembering that.
That we would all clank spoons and eat chocolate lava cake with ice cream when Luke McCaffrey scored his first touchdown. That's all.
Yeah. Seriously, good for you for remembering.
If you expect me to forget about chocolate lava cake,
it's not going to happen.
You're expecting the wrong thing.
Like, if I was to pick someone that was going to remember about chocolate lava cake, it would be you, I think.
The fact, too, that he said Chili's was where he would go, because Chili's is such a random place.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never been to Chili's in my life because there's a pepper on the sign, and I assumed it was for Mexican food. But then I had a buddy who I lived with at one point, probably 15 years ago, who was like a Chili's mark, and he would always go. And one time I met him at the Chili's bar, like late at night.
And you couldn't believe what the menu was?
And I was like, oh, this isn't terrible. Like, this is some American food here. Like, there's a appetizer thing where you can get three cool, like, fries.
The three for all,
I was like, this is amazing. But then I saw the chocolate lava cake and I got it. And I was like, oh my God, this is the best I've ever had. And so I became a chocolate lava cake mark at Chili's for a long time, ever since. And then when Luke said it, it was like hearing the Beatles for the first time. Like, who else knows about the Chili's chocolate lava cake? Luke McCaffrey does.
Luke does.
Game balls to the best, gassers to the worst. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny, the Commanders, for the second time blow out a team at home. They've won by 15 and 17 in Landover. They're actually 9-2 in their last 11 home games. More importantly, 2-1 to kick off 2025. Let's hear from you next. 800-636-1067. Who gets your game ball? Who gets your gasser? This is The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Chris Moore in motion, straight ahead run. And tough yard, still on his feet, Jeremy McNichols. I don't think they're going to get him. And he is in for the Washington touchdown.
Chris Myers on the call on Fox yesterday. Jeremy McNichols breaking tackles en route to a 60-yard touchdown run. The last time a running back for this organization ripped off a 60-yard run, Danny, do you know who it was?
A 60-yarder. See, wasn't Brian Robinson, so it's before him. Did Alf do it?
Alf never did it.
Chris Thompson snuck away once.
Darius Geis.
Geis? Oh, in that game where everybody ran for 150 yards against Carolina?
Probably.
Was it that game?
Yeah. If I had to guess, I don't remember what game it was, but... You don't see home runs like that. And that one wasn't like he just kind of ran away from people. It was everyone thought he was tackled and he ran
three different times, four different times. Yeah, it was amazing.
But the running game in general, this is what they dreamed about with Brian Robinson in San Francisco and Austin Eckler on injured reserve. They still have three guys they really trust. And at different points, Chris Rodriguez, very good. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt had some really nice work. And it was Jeremy McNichols who hit the home run, 60 yards. To the house yesterday. Time for some game balls to the best and gassers to the worst. 800-636-1067 is how you can join us to give out a game ball or a gasser. 800-636-1067. Danny, you get to give out the first game ball.
Cliff Kingsbury, take a bow. Take a moment. Use your really deep voice and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind. Everybody eats. You get a carry. You get a touch. You get a nice highlight play in this game. He was masterful, I thought. Always ahead of where the defensive coordinator was. Always outguessing them, outsmarting them. Getting guys in really good positions to accentuate their strengths.
The return game was remarkable. First kickoff of the day. Deebo Samuel's 69-yard return set them up just outside of the red zone for what was a touchdown. That's seven special teams points as far as I'm concerned. Then Jalen Lane rips off a 90-yard punt return for a touchdown. They said he was the best return man in the draft. He looked like it there. He's been really good early this season. That was their first punt return touchdown since Jamison Crowder in 2016 against the Ravens. It's been nine football seasons. Let's go to Toki Altizer for the latest on a 90-yard punt return for a touchdown from Jalen Lane. I mean, Toki, how steamed up were you? Because Jalen Lane, you've marked out for since the moment they called his name.
So I got to be honest, we're watching it here in the studio, and we see a flag fly. Now, I assumed it was on the Raiders because I saw somebody run out of bounds right away, and I was like, I assume that's on the Raiders. So it was a little bit subdued, but it was almost like vindication because I knew this guy could do it. I saw it happen all the time at Virginia Tech, and to see him take it to the house, I was like, please just make the punter miss. You can't get tackled by the punter. He made a miss, and it was almost, obviously jubilation, but it was almost like I knew this was going to happen at some point. Glad it finally happened.
Confirmation.
Yes.
It was, you were just like, I'm not surprised. That's what Jalen Lane does.
Can I just say real quick, the idea that a Washington fan assume the flag was on someone else when something good happened. That's the innocence of youth right there. Everybody's sitting there going, ugh.
Well, that's why we were all very quiet. Like a lot of us were still thinking, like, oh, there's a block in the back or a hold somewhere. But I'm like, I'm hoping it's that Raiders guy.
So I didn't see the flag, and I thought the reaction in the crowd was weird. The players were all going crazy, but I was like, it felt to me like people were not as excited as they should have been. And then I realized, like, oh, okay.
They see the laundry, yeah.
But I thought, unless there was another penalty, I felt really good about it. Because as you said, it was obvious in real time, this dude's just running downfield the entire duration of the play out of bounds. I thought that had to be the flag, but you never know, I guess, until they pick up that hanky. And then, by the way, on the return game, really quickly in terms of this game ball, so you have Debo 69, mm-hmm. you have 90 from Lane, and then you have Luke McCaffrey had this gigantic hole. He fell. He tripped on like the 25-yard line, but again, the blocking was there would have been another 50, 60, God knows what, return from Luke McCaffrey. So whatever Izzo was doing yesterday against the Raiders, he had them schemed and sliced and diced.
And their coverage, I thought, was really, really good, too. Give me another game ball, please, Darius. Marcus Mariota, needs to be said. I think 3-4 drops in there. Otherwise, he's, what, 15 for 17?
Well, he would have been 19 of 21 in the game without the drop.
Yeah, so there you go. The only mistake, we talked about it, is probably not necessarily the fumble itself, but cutting back inside when maybe there was an opportunity to either get down or kind of, you know, go skew towards the sideline. But I think once you're in the secondary running free like that, you're thinking, I could score right here. So I understand that. Ended up being like a, you know, like a short punt with a return. So that's a bummer, the fumble. But everything else, I thought he was splendid in this game.
Terry McLaurin back in the mix. He did have a drop, and the quad ends up getting dinged. So now we've got to wait and see what happens there. I mean, if he's injured and misses a few weeks, that'll bring up the old conversation that we said would happen if he suffered a September injury. Although it feels like it was kind of quirky, like he was reaching for the goal line while being tackled, and that's the play he suffered the injury on. I actually thought it should have been a 57-yard touchdown.
Should have been a touchdown, as far as I'm concerned.
Instead of a 56-yard play that got him to the one. But he leads the league in being basically yanked down at the one-yard line. If you go back to last year, it's kind of tough luck, like what happens to him. But it was just 3 catches on 4 targets. So it's not like he was overly involved. But 74 yards, the big explosive play when they needed it. You have 74 yards in every single game all season long. You end up with 1,258 yards. I mean, that would be basically a career high for Terry McLaurin. So I'm going to give him a game ball for yesterday.
Bobby Wagner, thanks for coming to the game today, buddy. What I love is going through a box score, right, or a Pro Football Reference and, you know, different spots. And I like seeing numbers in all the different columns. How about 2 sacks? How about 11 tackles? How about 6 solo tackles? How about 2 tackles for loss? How about 3 quarterback hits? He was everywhere. He was Roy Kent from Ted Lasso. I love it, Bobby Wagner.
Matt Gay missed another field goal. And this time it wasn't 50-plus, which has been the bugaboo for him in his career. It was a chippy. It was sub-40. This was a 37-yard kick. At that time, he was 1-for-4 on the season. Now, to his credit, he made from 46 and, impressively, from 56. So he's now 3-for-6 on the season. Still not a good batting average. But the 56-yarder and the 2-for-2 to finish the game saved his bacon. Worth noting, he missed from 56 initially, but Pete Carroll did the thing that I don't understand why any team does, where he calls the timeout so late that a kicker gets a practice kick. You cannot convince me that a professional athlete getting a practice kick does not help you more than it hurts you. So regardless, he misses from 56, then he gets to try again. He makes from 56. He was 2-for-3 in the game. But he also, sneaky, people forget this, he kicked the ball out of bounds immediately to start the game after Washington's first touchdown.
They hate momentum, or he does.
They're up 7-0, and then you kick the ball out of bounds, which he did a couple times in the preseason as well. So I've got 2 very negative moments for the kicker yesterday. That's 2 too many.
Dorrance Armstrong, another sack. They've played 3 games, and he has 3 sacks. So that's an average of... that's 3 divided by 1 sack per game. Dorrance Armstrong continuing his strong play from the end of last year and in the postseason. He's going well.
Let's hit the phones. 800-636-1067. Sean's in Falls Church on Grant and Danny. What's up, Sean? How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it, guys. I love the Roy Kent reference. Thank you for that.
Thank
everywhere,
you.
Everywhere, every effing where. But yes, no, I appreciate. I think it definitely goes to McNichols in a moment in the game when you needed something big and a guy that's going to get more touches, especially with Eckler not being there. I think that's a game ball right there. And then, yeah, Matt Gay, you can't miss 37 yards. You can make 56, that's extra, but you can't miss the short ones. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Love that call. Two reasons. One, it was 10-10. Washington was better than the Raiders were. And yet, they kind of messed around. You missed the chip shot. You had a turnover. You penalized yourself away from stuff. A game that you're winning and should be winning by a lot, you're not. It's 10-10. The next drive, that's when McNichols changes the game right there. That play, and I think the Jalen Lane play, were kind of the two where you went, whew, okay, now we're breathing easier. But that was a massive momentum shift.
Scott's in Locust Grove on Grant and Danny. What's up, Scott?
Hey. I forgot to prompt your guy, but I am a longtime listener and a first-time caller.
Well, that means Jim Zorn gets to
Jim Zorn is sleeping. Give me a second. We got to wake him up.
Jim, are you ready?
Jimmy!
No.
Jim!
All right, Scott, go ahead.
Okay.
You kind of stole my thunder, Grant.
But... Give that!
He missed his window.
You don't get to be unprepared and then just cut him off in the
middle of
his point.
Interrupts the guy. That's not right.
Rude, Jim. Rude.
Rude guess how.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
But my game ball, like I said, Grant, kind of stole my thunder. My game ball goes to, I guess it's Larry Izzo. I didn't even know his name, but the special teams coach. I think he figured something out. There were holes every single kickoff return. There's a huge hole, even the one Luke McCaffrey, like you said, slipped on. So I'm sure that teams will figure out and look at film and figure out what he figured out, but
yeah, I mean, gigantic, like drive a truck through it.
Totally right. And remember, in the preseason, their coverage units weren't very good. They started off each of those games with big returns against them. They've been dynamite in that area as well.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Let's go to Kenny in Falls Church. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, Ken.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Amen.
Game ball has to go to Mariota. This guy has been outstanding in this offense. He's going to be a starting quarterback somewhere next year. Do you guys agree with that?
Well, I think he's going to try. I mean, he tried this offseason. It didn't work out. He wanted Indianapolis. They chose Daniel Jones, who's been, by the way, incredible. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league through 3 weeks this season. But here's what I could see. Wherever Cliff goes, I could see him bringing Mariota with him to help implement and instill the offense. And then you figure out, like, what's the quarterback situation? You know, if they don't have a QB, maybe you draft a guy and you develop him behind Mariota. Or if they've got one, maybe you just bring Mariota in as your backup or whatever. But I could see him rolling with Cliff because I think they have a good rapport. I think he really, really likes the offense. Next, I want to give you a crazy Dorrance Armstrong stat. Absolutely crazy. And we will tell you what happened around the NFC East outside of the Commanders yesterday. You're listening to The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
They don't blitz often, but here they come. Geno Smith will be sacked. Von Miller, that's what he does, even in his 15th year.
Yeah, that's been a decade and a half, but when Von Miller sees the Raiders, his eyes light up. He thought he was a Bronco again yesterday, beating up on an AFC West opponent.
He and Brian Arakpo could have some nice conversations about that.
Arakpo, greatest game of his life. Four sacks against Jamarcus Russell.
More sacks against the Raiders than against, I think I got this right, than against the Cowboys and Eagles combined in his career.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Commanders 2-1, one game back of the Eagles, who got a win yesterday over the Rams. Let's go around the NFC East with the three other tilts from Sunday in the NFL. Philly is, I would say, the Chiefs of last year, but they're kind of the Eagles of last year, too, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about unimpressive for three-plus quarters, but they just find a way. It is moderately exhausting. Like Jalen Hurts finally had a decent statistical day, 226, three through the air. Saquon Barkley's been mostly shut down, 18 for 46 yesterday, 2.5 per carry. The Rams can do that. That's a good defense. They led this game 26-7 in the third quarter. It was early third quarter, but still, they got a 10-yard catch and run from Kyron Williams, Matt Stafford touchdown pass. So with 14:06 to go in the third quarter, it was 26-7. And then the Eagles got going. Jalen Hurts to Dallas Goedert, Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts for Devontae Smith to take the lead. They are up by 1 point, 27-26. The Rams get the ball back, march down the field to kick what looks like a chip shot, easy game-winning field goal. They're going to survive and win 29-27, and Philly blocks a kick. It's Jordan Davis, their gargantuan defensive tackle. Scoop and score, 61 yards. And what was hilarious about that play was they get a cover off of it because the line in the game, I think, was 3.5. So whether they were going to win or lose outright, like bettors watching this game all day, felt great about the Rams because they were catching points. And then all of a sudden, based on a block kick and a 60-plus yard return at the horn, the Eagles actually cover and win by 7. Pretty amazing day for Philadelphia.
Block kicks on consecutive drives. I mean, how? That does not happen in this league. And then it happens. Now, Philadelphia deserves credit, kind of as you said. They remembered, oh, that's right, A.J. Brown's a monster. He is unstoppable, especially, by the way, when he's being covered by Emmanuel Forbes. That's right. That Emmanuel Forbes. I would throw to A.J. Brown also, because that is what we like to call in the business a mismatch. So this is eye of the beholder type stuff for Philadelphia. However you want to look at it, you can. To me, this is they were sleepwalking through three quarters and were getting beat by a really good team and came back, and it was really impressive they came back. But it's also they were getting smacked and had to have two blocked field goals at the end of the game to win it. However you want to interpret it, you can.
Yeah, I don't think the Eagles are as good as maybe, you know, the national narrative, where they're going to be one or two or whatever in power rankings. Like, I got to give them credit. I think they're winners.
What, 19 of the last 20 games?
Jalen Hurts is a winner for what that's worth. But I think you can hang with them. I think you can play with them for the most part. Let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys, who fell to 1-2. They got bludgeoned by the Bears. The Cowboys have major defensive problems. They have one of the worst defenses in the NFL right now. It's almost like trading Micah Parsons is backfiring on them. I mean, this has been gross on that side of the ball. Here's where they rank right now. 31st overall. They are 32nd against the pass. They are 27th at sacking the quarterback. This is a problem. And yesterday it was the Chicago Bears lighting it up. Caleb Williams looked like a stud, looked like a 1-1 pick. Ben Johnson had them dialing up trick plays, a flea flicker that worked.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
How about this from Caleb Williams? 298-4 yesterday. And then Ben Johnson after the game gave a hell of a speech for a guy who's not a leader of men, just some nerd who's a loser. I mean, he really had the boys rallying in the locker room. Bears get their first win of the season.
Anytime you could trade away Micah Parsons for a guy that played a little over half the snaps and had one tackle, I think you'd do it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like three-dimensional chess.
They also got two first-round picks, but still a terrible trade.
Yeah, but you don't get to tell me that you're going to be better on defense because we're focused on stopping the run.
They did do that.
Yeah, how's that working out for you? Yeah, they're bad. And a couple bad. One interception was terrible by Dak. Another hit his receiver in the hands. And CeeDee Lamb left the game. So
the one in the end zone at the end of the game
was just horrendous.
I'm guessing that's the one you're talking about?
That was one of the all-time. I could have done that. Like, I could drop back in a game and throw an interception.
Did
like
he
that.
Not see Edmonds?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's not as if Edmonds isn't one of those shorter linebackers
no,
either.
No,
that's,
no.
That's that 6'4 monster.
It looked like he was playing catch with him.
Jermaine, hey, buddy. This one's for you, pal. Just lobbed it to him.
So
easily.
Was the last one, but this one is too.
Yeah, my God.
Two interceptions.
Gross.
But for the Bears, the 65-yard Hail Mary touchdown to burden their rookie wide receiver. Adunze scored a touchdown, had a 2-touchdown game earlier in the season. And it was very quiet for DJ Moore, 4-for-21, but he scored as well. Cole Kmet caught a touchdown. Didn't you think Williams looked really good?
I did. Looked comfortable, too. I mean, you know, just flying around, using that athleticism, commanding the line of scrimmage. Looked like a guy that's getting comfortable in that system.
And then lastly, the Giants fell to 0-3. So Russell Wilson, bad week one, probably not all his fault. Kind of a systematic failure. Amazing week two to stave off the calls for his job. And then a terrible week three. I thought he just gave them very little chance last night. 18 of 32 for a 160 with a couple bad throw the ball up in the air and hope for the best interceptions. Then what he did at the end of the game, like throwing a bunch of balls into the seats that gave no receiver a chance.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I didn't get that at all. They lose 22-9 to an unimpressive, listless offensive Kansas City team. By the way, Travis Kelce looks washed. He was getting bumped by Andy Reid's belly last night.
Yeah.
They were angry at each other. But he was 4-for-26 with a long of 13. Kelce just looks completely washed.
I would be a terrible owner. I tweeted this last night at Funny Dandy, Grant at Grant H. Paulson. I would have fired every person associated with football that have with the Giants if I owned the Giants last night. Just so embarrassing. You have one player that scares teams, one player that's any good on offense. He had two touches. The other guys, there's a lot of Devin Singletary in there. Way to go. What are you doing? I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if Malik Nabers didn't have all of the touches. If I'm going down, and I am going down, by the way, it's going to be with my one good player being so tired from having the ball in his hands that he needs breaks.
Well, they did double him all night long, so I get that he wasn't going to have a big game. But, yeah, you'd like to throw him a screen.
Do something else, man.
Try something
else.
Fix it. There you go. A 1-2 record outside of the Commanders in the division, so they were able to gain ground on everybody but Philadelphia. Next on G&D, how about the running back usage and plan working for Washington yesterday and major changes to the O-line? One of the moves that happened on game day, completely unexpected. We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.